There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the bill we got? I mean, the bill we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Excuse me.
You're a big tough guy, buddy. You just rammed into me. Ah, how do you like that? Now hit me in the face and see what happens, punk. I'm sorry.
There's an attack on the species by a guild of psychopaths, and they must be defeated.
All right, and that's how we get kicked off here for Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Live local talk over the next couple of hours. Hey, Dalton, you see that? Now the rest of the news cycle has woken up to the questions about Alex Jones and his stuff being removed from YouTube, other platforms as well. But I'm thinking about YouTube being the big story yesterday. And, of course, the Spotify, his podcast won't be there. And what happened? Somebody mentioned his website. Now, he owns his website. I don't know how the website could be in danger. I don't know how. I mean, if he owns his website, he owns his website. I mean, it's not a third-party provider. It's himself. It's not... What? Oh, to see which other... Okay, so I am looking here. So if InfoWars goes away, what about... InfoBattles.com is for sale. You can buy that now for $2,495. All right, what about... Let's see, even less than a battle. Let's just... Let's say... days preceding Gettysburg, when the cavalry units run into each other, the info skirmish, right? InfoSkirmish.com. It's owned. That is owned. That is not under construction. It is there and it's doing things. So, InfoSkirmish is and no, I can't. I can't search for that one. I don't want that. No, I don't want that in. I don't want that in the search memory. So we're looking through. We'll see. Hey, we'll talk about that some throughout the show. Also, we'll do it this hour. But a lot of stuff on tap for my guest, a man we talked to on Thursday mornings on the morning show. But great to get him here on the midday show. Rob Hulbert with Landnap joins us for Midday Mobile. Hey, man.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Good. Info
back
skirmish.
From Hawaii. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Very nice.
Yeah. Back from Hawaii just in time to try to purchase InfoSkirmish.com.
I'm in, man. Set me up. I've got some Bigfoot news. I'm ready to put it out there.
Hey, what about that? I mean, we've got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the latest with the stadiums and also stormwater fees and some gubernatorial debates. But before that, I mean, this story, I went on the yesterday at this time and said, if y'all been listening to this show over the last 9 years, I have been in the business of deflecting, judo chopping, and knocking out all the conspiracy theories people hear from that show and bring over here. I have been a man that has said what a buffoon this guy is from the word go. I also actually think maybe he's buffoon like a fox, if that's possible, where maybe this is all some kind of character he's created. He's laughing all the way to the bank that this is all theater he does. But nevertheless, yesterday I see what's going on here, and, you know, I got to come to his defense because now we're and to hear people like Facebook and others use the term community standards for the reason why they removed it. Number one, they're not regulated by the Federal Communications Commission.
Right.
They are not over-the-air broadcast of TV or radio, so the FCC does not apply. And then if they wanted to say, well, it applies anyways, what is the community standard? You are a global entity. What community are we talking about? Are we talking about, there in the neighborhoods of Kabul? Or are we talking about what's going on in, Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco? I mean, what community standard?
Well, they've, they've opened the door onto something that is probably, there's probably no answer to. And that's the issue, you know. And I'm, you know, like you said, I'm no fan of that, of InfoWars. And honestly, I sit here and look at it from the standpoint and say, well, it is their you know, it is their company. It is their thing. If they don't want to have people on there,
sure,
they can kick them off.
Yeah, I will defend.
I think what it does, I think what this is a continued, it continues to show what exactly Facebook is and what some of these things are, is, you know, that they're not sources of news and they are just businesses. And you know, so people, I think, really, as they've looked to that, to social media to be the, you know, the next wave of news, I think it just shows exactly why it's not.
Right. Well, okay. And I will, being a, you know, private entity, or let's say it's a public company, but non-governmental group there, that they have the right to, yeah, they have the right to actually to drop whatever content they want and make whatever arbitrary, silly, you know, crazy rule they want to make. But where does that stop? As people will cheer for this for Alex Jones, you know, then what's next? I mean, this is, it's a tribalism that exists in our country now that seems to fly in the face of things like the First Amendment and civil liberties.
Well, it does, but again, you know, it what it shows you is that the people who have that, who own those companies, don't have that as their base. You know, that's not part of their basis. That's not what they're doing. And to me, it unmasks what they are really doing, and that they have agendas, and that they also are just there to make money. And that is, you know, you don't have a right to have a Facebook page. You don't have a right to have a Twitter handle. You know, those are not inherent rights. They are things that people have that, and if they abuse them, then they take them off, and so they've decided this is abuse of some sort.
Right, but if you're making a policy, let's say, once again, I believe the company has a right to make whatever silly policy they would. People wearing striped shirts can't be on our site, whatever.
Sure.
I will defend the private, the right of those public and private companies to do just that, but I would say this, that once you start that, then don't you just bring up case after case after case? If you ban this, why didn't you ban that? Don't you have to have a new department there for people to answer the phones to say,
well, sure,
here's why?
Yeah, you're opening up a huge can of worms, but I mean, you know, they've got problems with, you know, they've opened up a can of worms in a million different ways. You know, it's you know, in terms of privacy issues, things like that. They do things all the time that you would say, geez, that's really not ethical. You know, it's,
yeah,
the question is, it really, the bigger question, Sean, to me is, should Facebook be this big a part of our society? Should Facebook be something that decides, you know, these issues then, and that is that important to us? There's still lots of different ways for people like Alex Jones and other people to get messages out there. There, you know, it's not dependent upon Facebook, and, you know, really, should we as society look to Facebook and say, gosh, these guys are really doing a good job for us, and they're really fair?
Are they just a mirror? You know what I mean? Are they the puppet master, or are they just a mirror?
Well, I think they are primarily, you know, there probably is a mirror to a degree of what people want, but I think, you know, they have an algorithm that chooses what you see to some extent. So, you know, I mean, I don't want to, every time I look for, you know, a new pair of shoes online, to have shoes show up in my feed for the next 6 months. You know, we go to the grocery store and buy something new, and all of a sudden it comes up, you know, in your feed. So, I mean, everything is now linked. I mean, hell, I'm pretty sure my phone's listening to me. It's, you know, so it's, I mean, you know, all those things are not things we have real choices in. And so, other than the choice of just getting out of it. And so, I mean, I think that there's a lot of stuff that they're doing that isn't just a mirror. It is manipulation.
All right, we're going to come back for the break. I want to get into the things I actually told Rob we would be talking about today. And we'll get to those when we return. By the way, it looks like, just coming in here on the text line, thank you, Chip, said a bad wreck on 65 around the 7 mile marker. I don't, is that northbound? Okay. 65 at the 7 mile marker, 4 ambulances, 1 fire truck, multiple police on the northbound side. This is I-65 northbound, shut down at mile marker number 7. We'll get you the latest on that when we return right here on Midday Mobile.
You're You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1218 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Once again, coming in through the text line, get the latest on this traffic. 65 northbound, 7, mile marker number 7. 4 ambulances, 1 fire truck, and multiple police. Northbound I-65 shut down at mile marker number 7. Dalton, if we get any more info on that, any details, pass along, or if that traffic starts moving, we will let you know. Continuing our conversation with Rob Holbert from Lanyap, and I know I got off on the tangent.
Well,
that is...
I want to add one more thing before we move on, and I think this is something people ought to think about. And you and I both, we run media companies that are locally owned here, and we try to do things for our community, to cover our community. And, you know, I think people, when they think about spending money, and we hear this all the time, I'm spending my money on Facebook, I'm advertising on Facebook. Think about what you're involved in. You know, that's what you're involved with. You know, and I mean, it is all part of what they do, and is it something you really want to be involved in?
And you don't have the ability, there's no one there to call and holler at like there is here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if they're going to do those types of things, how honest do you think they are about all the other stuff they're telling you?
You did see the story. They want access to your bank account, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing today that they're trying to get. Some banks have said no. Yeah. Others are still looking at it. They want to have access to your bank account so they can tell you if you're close to your bottom of your account or if you're overdrawn or something like that.
So they can find out where you're spending money that they can't quite track yet.
They're pretending they already don't have that information. They're just trying to get validated on it. All right, a couple things here at home. Something you and I like to talk about: what's going on in South Alabama. Number one on my list, just because this is the new thing. Property owners, this note comes out from the city yesterday. Property owners inside Mobile city limits could soon be paying a fee to help strengthen the city's stormwater program. The fee would be $10 per residential property per year. Commercial space or property would be assessed at a half a cent per square foot with a maximum fee of $3,000. Mobile County Revenue Commissioner would collect the stormwater fee as other ad valorem taxes. They say here, quote here from the mayor, the funding would help us better protect our natural resources and create a cleaner, greener community. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, you were in Hawaii last week, but you could have stayed here and surfed because it was there was some serious water in the streets last week. In my recollection, it was the worst flooding I've ever seen. And, you know, in Mobile, I thought it was unreal. Cars stuck in the middle of Dolphin Street. I was trying to go somewhere, and I could not get there. Businesses downtown got flooded. So, it's an issue. Is it worth $10 to me to help improve that issue? Yeah, I think it is. There'll be some complaints, I think, as you said, from business owners. I worked out the math. It's something about like $10 per 2,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
The big runoff producers are giant parking lots, things like that. Those are the biggest runoff producers in the city.
Right, but they're talking about, that's what gets me, is there, the way I read this, and maybe there's more nuance to the actual document versus just the press release that goes out, but it says a half cent per square foot. Now, is that of total property or is that of under roof?
I don't know. I don't know that yet, you know, so that those are the issues. Looking at it, I don't know where all they're going to spend the money on, but hopefully that some of that would be infrastructure. To me, that's where they really ought to put a lot of it, is to try to figure out to do some things with the infrastructure underground that is the issue.
Okay. So that's the problem, though. Okay, that comes up to, I did a little math, which is the math I know is completely flawed because I did something very simple. I took the number of residents in the city and went times 10. Now, of course, there's going to be multiple residents in any given home, and then you got commercial property. But, you know, let's say maybe this approaches $1 million a year, which I don't know that it does. But, I mean, if you just do the regular math, it's $1.9 million. But obviously that doesn't take into account the fact that there's not just one person in every house. So with $1 million, you know, you can do litter traps like we've done. You can do these kind of different things. They're good, but they're Band-Aids. The real issue, right, is what's underground, what you can't see.
Yeah, but maybe you can do a bond issue with and have that kind of thing pay for it. You know, that's maybe something you can do, and that's just a guess. I'm not, you know, I'm just talking about what things you might do with that kind of money. So maybe you can do a bigger bond issue to do some real structural things and help pay for that with that money and not have it become something that has to come out of the general fund, basically.
Okay, well, let me ask this question then, and maybe you have an answer, maybe you don't, but it brings up the point that if the city is, let's say they do that, let's say that this $10 stormwater fee goes into digging up the infrastructure and replacing it, modernizing it, wouldn't it be a more direct method to have the utility, in this case, MAWS, charge the $10 and put that into the infrastructure? Why do we have to have a middleman?
I don't know how that works with them, and I know that that's been a big fight for a lot of these things. You know, is who owns what and who's responsible for what. And I think that's a lot of where some of our problems come from is decision making over who owns what and if we tear this up, then who's got to put it back? And there's a lot of those things that go on between the city and malls, but it is certainly something that, you know, to have a better community. And, you know, there's folks, I mean, I talked to a guy the other day. He said he bought a big pickup truck because he had to, he lives in Midtown, and his sedan had flooded twice. So he said, well, I bought a truck. I have to street park, so I need something that can stand up because the water gets so high in front of our house.
Now, okay, but that has been, I mean, that's not a brand new thing. I know you're saying how much it flooded last week while I was gone.
That's why
I planned my vacation, because I knew it would flood. But but it's been, I mean, it's been going on since I was a kid. I mean,
sure, it is. And, and I mean, that's the point is, you know, do you want to correct it or not? I mean, what we forget about all this, and this is the thing that everybody forgets about. Okay, we had a big flood last week, and, you know, okay, the water went away. But what always happens with these is you have giant sewage releases in almost any situation like this.
Oh, we get a misting rain, we get a sewage release.
Yeah, there's sewage releases in all this. All that water running around, there's sewage. And so, you know, that's part of the really big part of the problem is, you know, it's not just that we have a big bunch of water and it washes a bunch of garbage into the river, into the bay, but it also ends up releasing a lot of sewage into the bay. And those are issues, you know, as you pointed out earlier today, you were talking about it, that, you know, ADEM was, you know, right on our case about to hammer Mobile for all these things, and we've been trying to get away from that. But, you know, if you want to go further and actually, I mean, it was more than 1 million gallons of sewage released last year. I mean, it's a lot of sewage.
It's getting to the, I mean, I've been ranting about it a very long time. It's getting to the where people, I guess, are callous to it, just, oh, that's the way it's going to be. But, when I talk to people that are in the know, they say, there's no way, we don't have the money. We're going to do the retention ponds are doing for Boz and those plans, because that mitigates it some, but we don't have money to replace the infrastructure. It's just not there. But if this $10 is going to go towards that, and maybe it is, maybe it's who owns what, but it seems if it is going to infrastructure that's Boz, shouldn't they just put it on your ticket there?
Well, I don't know the answer to that, Sean. I don't know who owns exactly what. And, you know, if the city is working on something that malls should be working on or not, I would assume that they wouldn't go out and spend money on something that malls should do. But, you know, and the question of whether, you know, whether the utilities are doing what they ought to do is, a whole other argument.
Yeah.
Certainly if we've got broken pipes that are theirs, they ought to correct it.
All right. Speaking of the city spending money on stuff, let's talk some stadium and where we stand now as the special committee has met here to discuss this idea of unhitching the LAD portion away from the money for the proposed USA Stadium.
The newest thing that happened today was that there's now a plan to do some sort of revitalization in Maysville that is somewhat hooked into the the vote for this next week. So if there's a revitalization plan for Maysville, and we don't really, and we have no idea on that at all yet, this is what Councilman Manzi brought up today, and that looks like if it passes, it will give them the votes they need to give South the money.
Wait, okay. So, that, I mean, the that, decision...
That's what my intrepid reporter, Dale Leash, told me just a little bit ago. He just got back from the city council meeting. He thinks that there probably are the votes if this, whatever this thing is agreed upon.
The way I'm understanding, just hearing this now, it's basically you're gonna fund some project for Maysville as some kind of mitigation for taking away Ladd? Is that...
And again, I don't know that that means we're taking away Ladd, because there's still a big argument about, there's still a lot of people out there arguing that we should keep both. You know, I think you know, there's several
isn't the
people.
Issue we can't fill the stuff we have as we sit right now? I mean,
I think it makes sense to keep Ladd. If those games leave and South builds its stadium and the big bowl games leave, it makes no sense to me to keep Ladd. I don't really think it makes a lot of sense if South is going to build its stadium, period, to give South taxpayer money, personally.
Right.
It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But, you know, that's the argument, is whether they're actually going to do it or not, and they say that they won't do it without taxpayer money. I don't think that it doesn't look like the county is going to give them $10 million. They may give them some amount, but it doesn't look like they're going to give them that amount. I mean, obviously the deal is that the city would actually be giving them like $7.5 million because they're going to get $2.5 back.
Right.
The $2.5 was supposed to go into knocking down Ladd and creating a football stadium out there that is that has less maintenance, smaller.
ADA compliant.
You know, all those things. And, you know, and then also fixing up the area around the stadium. But... You know, there's still a lot of resistance to that as well. And, you know, so you get a lot of people who say, we need to keep Ladd. And I think the bottom line to me right now is there are a whole bunch of people who want to pour money into Ladd and try to compete with South for those bowl games. And I think that's the real unspoken thing. And I think that's what they want to do.
Coming right back, more with Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. By the way, left and center lanes reopened at 65 northbound at the 7 mile marker. That's at Moffitt and St. Stephen's.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Continue our conversation with my buddy Rob Hulbert from Lanyap. By the way, the new Lanyap is getting ready to hit streets, tomorrow?
Being baked right now, man. We're sending it to the printer in just a little bit, so, yeah.
All right, so people will be able to pick that up at in their front yard if they're lucky.
We'll have a picture of the notorious Danny Sheridan on the cover talking about the new sports betting going on.
Yeah, you know, when he was on with me, not only did we talk about the Mississippi sports betting, he absolutely drugged the state of Alabama and its leadership over the coals. I don't know if he did that.
That would be Danny, yeah, for sure.
Pulled no punches on that. Speaking of, this is the Lanyap that's out right now till the new one hits, and your Damn the Torpedoes commentary. The great gubernatorial cyber debate. Now, this boils down to the debate or not debate, right?
Yeah. Yeah, well, it boils down to the fact that nobody, that KIV does not want to have a debate. You know, I personally believe that if you want to have those offices, you ought to debate. I think you ought to do it. I think if you're going to run for president, I don't care if you're up 40 points in the polls. You should get out there and talk about what you want to do.
But should the best debater get the job or the best person at doing the job? You know, the question is, would you end up with somebody who might be a little more silver-tongued, but might not have the chops of the person who's in the lead.
So then the danger is then to let the public hear from somebody because they're too stupid to determine. Is that what it is?
I don't know. Why does it work?
I mean, is that the danger? I think that, you know, again, you know, Ann has never, KIV's never run for governor. I guess briefly she did, but she's never stood up and campaigned for this office. She has not debated for this office before. And so when I went and looked, I said, okay, they're not in the debate. Let's go look at their websites, at least, because I don't have a real good sense of what her her agenda is.
Yeah, where are planks of her platform?
What's her plank? Okay, she's not going to have to tell us. We won't, as we try to call her on the phone as news media, they won't talk to us about it. So what is it? And, you know, in the, you know, the internet, there's plenty of room, Sean. You can write as much as you want.
Yeah, ask and, Alex Jones. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of room. So I went and looked, and, you know, basically what I came across was, okay, on Maddox's site, on their issues, he has basically five big points. They all have links to them, multiple pages of stuff of very detailed information. Whether you agree with it or not, I'm not saying I agree with all of it, but there was lots of information. I went to her page for her issues, and there's one page, and each issue, she has, I guess, about 10 issues, and each one she deals with in about a sentence or two. The number one being that I believe in God and He has all the answers. So, you know, there's no. She has nothing about infrastructure in Alabama. She has nothing about health care in Alabama. Those don't make the top 10. You know, she has something about standing up for the little man, which is, I'm pretty sure, stolen from Oh Brother Where Art Thou.
Well, okay, but I would
she
argue
shows up with a midget with a broom on. You know, I know that's what we're gonna get. That's where she got it.
Okay. But frankly, in the state of Alabama, with the exception of Doug Jones, the R behind your name is enough. I mean, if you're looking at this not idealistically but pragmatically, if you're going to, you know, keep the job, and Republicans would want a Republican more than a Democrat in all but the most extreme cases we've seen. Why don't you just play prevent defense? I get it. I mean,
intellectual advisor, Sean. I'm a journalist. I'm talking about what I think we ought to do.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's not my job to tell her, hey, this is a great way to politically win a race. I mean, why don't you just pander and claim that you believe in God and all these other things? Let's just talk about that instead of talking about issues. That may or may not be the best way to win. We'll see. We've had instances where people have decided to try to play defense and they end up losing the race, but you know, I can think about Luther Strange being one. I think you have to at least, you know, you just have to say what are our standards, what do we want? You know, I mean, if you're talking about just pure politics, then I guess that's what we want. But you know, if complain then later on that all it is politics and that, you know, all Montgomery is politics, if you can't at least say, God, we feel good enough about our candidate to let him get out there and have a debate.
Well, so, I would argue that it should have been something that was complained about more during the primary. For Republicans or conservatives out there, when they, you know, I brought this up many times during the primary, and it was, oh, yeah, whatever, you know, they don't have a chance, not even Tommy Battle. Nobody has a chance, so she doesn't have to. That would be, if you wanted to play it safe politically, but you wanted to make sure you had an idea who was, you know, asking for the job, you ought to demand it inside the primary.
Well, the question I have is, you know, if people, I mean, if she's got a great platform, what is the worry? You know, what's the worry? What is it that she's afraid of in terms of debating? Why would she be frightened to debate? If she has a great plan and good answers to these things, then what's the problem? If that's her situation, why does she not take interviews? Why does she not let reporters ask her questions? You know, those are things I think are worth looking at. You know, that if we just want to have somebody get in, I mean, if it's more about team sports than it is.
But it is. That's the thing. I don't like it. I lament it every day, but I am open-eyed enough to see that is the game. I mean, if folks aren't really, I mean, they're interested in issues within their own party, but not in a general. I mean,
we shouldn't have a general election if it's only, you know, I mean, if it only matters if you're an R. I'm just saying, you know, that's my point of view. It's not my job to sit around and be an R or a D anyway. It's not that. That's my job, is to say, this is what I think we ought to do. And it's just my opinion in there, but that's what I think we ought to do. I think they ought to have a debate. And I think she's not presented anything really. I mean, if she can't even put something on her website that says what her plans are, I mean, is that just a way? I mean, why not do that?
Yeah. That's not even a debate. You're right.
You know, have somebody put something on there.
Right. You can have somebody else craft it for you, and you can give it the go ahead. I agree with you. And actually, I want, I mean, from what I do for a living, I want there to be a debate badly. You know, I'm with you there because I want that, and I use this word not a pejorative, but a spectacle. I want the spectacle of the debate. I want the head-to-head. I want the sound clips. I want to hear, you know, the turn of the phrase. I like that. But at the same time, I'm not holding my breath because I know how the game's played in Alabama. Maybe I'm beaten down by it too much.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that I think it's going to happen. That's why I did the cyber debate. I thought, let's look at this. Let's look at here's two areas where they have put their issues out, and we can go read them. And this is what this is how much effort she has put into telling us what her issues are. So it's all about, you know, I don't understand that part of it. If you don't even have the time and energy to put your basic platform out there where people can read it, I don't get that. Okay, you can say you don't want to debate. You don't, you know, you think you're going to look bad debating somebody younger or whatever, but there's certainly, I would hope, an opportunity to just sit down and write what we're going to do. This is what I want to do in office.
Well, the worry about it, too, is if you don't have that and you don't have some idea of something that you want to accomplish, then I've got to ask the question, once session kicks in Montgomery, and if it is Kay Heinfe as governor, remaining as governor, who's pulling the strings? I mean, is it the executive branch coming up with an idea and, trying to put some leverage on the legislative branch, or is it just kind of whatever they come up with in the House and Senate, then just waiting, as long as a bill coming from the Republicans, we'll go ahead and sign that?
Look, I've had people who I respect and who know her and have met her tell me she is very qualified to be governor, and I've also had people tell me she is an empty suit who has zero ability to do the job. And these are Republicans.
Right.
And so, you know, I mean, these are dyed-in-the-wool Republicans have told me both from both sides. So
how do people get such different opinions about one person? It seems odd.
Well, you know, you kind of have to wonder what people's, you know, what do they get out of it? I don't know. I mean, that's the question I have, is that, you know, I mean, a lot of people feel like she's an empty suit, is going to be controlled by people around her, that she's not capable of doing the job herself and being at the head of running it. Now, there's others who say, oh, yeah, she's really ready to do this and she's prepared. I have not seen that part of her yet that shows me any where she stood up and done anything that, or come up with a plan and put that plan out there that we can see. I don't know what the plan is. Do you know what her plan is?
More the same. Steady the ship.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the plan is. We're doing great.
But the problem is we in Alabama, for good reason, have this beaten voter syndrome after, you know, the debacles of the recent past, let alone the long past, hey, as long as they're not, you know, screwing this up, let's just leave them there, because we don't know, the option could be a lot worse, as we've learned.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly could be, but, you know, by the same token, when Bentley came in, everybody thought, well, okay, he's going to do a good job, and that didn't work out very well. If somebody's not in control, you know, power loves a vacuum, you know, mm-hmm. and so if there's somebody who's not really in charge, what happens? And that's what we saw in the last governor's office, I think, is, you know, somebody who really lost control of what they were doing, and suddenly there are people working, being paid by other entities off to the side, and, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I'm saying it could happen. And if there's not somebody who's really strong in there, and you know, I would just like to know what she wants to do. I would like to have somebody say, this is what my plan is for our bridges, our highways, all those things, you know, schools, all the stuff. It's just, if you look at her website, all those things are just little platitudes, and they're, you know, they're one or two sentence answers for very complicated questions.
Well, maybe that changes if more people ask the questions you're asking, I'm asking. They get irritated with that, but if they don't, it probably, you know, will continue to be business as usual.
Well, I've had people who, you know, one person I know that knows her says he just said that she is incapable of debating, that she's incapable of standing up there for 3 hours, she's incapable of the debate, so it will never happen because she cannot do it physically. Now, that's his opinion, but he's been around her a lot. So I don't, you know, that's what one person says. Again, somebody else called me and said, this guy, you know, I know her great well, and she is super prepared. But at this point, I have no real evidence that that's the case.
There you go. Y'all can check out, for a limited time, the Dan the Torpedo is talking about the cyber debate over at LaneNetMobile.com or in the soon-to-be old news edition of LaneNet. And you said tomorrow start looking for the new edition?
Yeah, we'll get it out there on starting tomorrow, you know.
Where, Rob, where?
Come heck or high water. It'll be 1,400 locations around Mobile, Baldwin County. Check us out online. You can catch the old versions and the new versions starting tomorrow. And then you can always get us delivered to you through the U.S. mail for $1 a week.
There you go. You can walk out there in your slippers and house coat and pick it up.
That's money well spent. Come on.
It is. Thanks, Rob.
Take care, Sean.
All right. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. We grabbed some calls, too. 343-0106. And speaking of the state of Alabama, medical device taxes in the state of Alabama, what does it cost us in jobs and money? Talk about that coming up, too.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, here we go. 1253 FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Oh, coming up next hour, Brendan Kirby joins me, plus AdvaMed EVP of Public Affairs, Greg Crist. Talk about this, what he says the medical device tax cost in the state of Alabama. Plus, two, I'm still running the deal from this morning where we asked, who would you ban from social media? I mean, if you're in the discussion of Alex Jones, I suggested the PewDiePie person that does a strange voice on YouTube, does kids' videos. I don't know what there is that's wrong with it, but there's something other than just the fact the voice annoys me. Of course, Dalton mentioned a whole list of people he wanted to take off of YouTube. So we'll keep that going. And also, our online opinion poll question, still resonating right off what Rob just had to say. Should Governor Ivey debate Walt Maddox before the general? 52% of y'all say yes. All right, let's go to the phones, and Paul is in Mobile. First up, hey, Paul.
Hi, Sean.
Hey, man.
Glad you're back from the vacation. That sounds like a big fun.
We had a big, big time. Yeah, it was great.
So, now, listen, I got a letter today from Spire.
Uh-oh.
Saying they were because of a non-paid bill, they were transferring $252 to my home account.
Wait a second.
So I call them up, and I start asking them, you know, what was it? I was a real estate broker I've been out of the business for 10 years. And 12 years ago, I managed a property in Spring Hill. And I guess the tenant didn't pay their gas bill. I don't know anything about it. But this bill came from 12 years ago that they transferred to my account. And she says, well, Mr. Paul, what's your relationship with this? And I told her I was a property manager. Oh, we'll take it off right away.
Huh.
I said, why are you putting it on somebody's account after 12 years?
And it was Spire, not like a third-party collector kind of people?
It was the real people.
That's weird.
Yeah, he was in Birmingham.
That's weird.
And she's, I told her, I said, well, I see on television where there's lots of complaints from the Mobile area. And she says, yes, we've had some problems with our meter readers. I said, were they reading this meter 12 years ago? I'm not sure.
So it's a good cautionary that if somebody sees something like that on their bill, that there may be attempts to just see if they can get people to pay stuff.
Oh, my gas bill is taken straight out of one of my checking accounts, and I'm lucky I opened it up and looked at it.
See, now, I'm going to record this. If Mrs. Sullivan's not listening, you listen to Paul when I go through my lecture, why we do not do direct withdrawal. I said, listen, somebody screw up something, they hold the money for a month, and we got to eat whatever's left in the canned goods for a month. So, yeah, that's a good cautionary tale. Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it, man.
All right.
Thanks. Wow, yeah, there has been a lot of complaints there. And I don't know. You know, when people had their rates or their usage go up, even though they said they didn't change what they did, you know, I kept checking. It didn't happen to me, but I got more calls and more texts here about that. Oh, I saw this note. Go figure. This comes, Dalton, I don't know if you saw this, comes out of the Tuscaloosa News, not any local media yet that I've seen. that the University of Alabama is going to lease space at GulfQuest. That's right. It says, story from Tuscaloosa News. University of Alabama will lease space at GulfQuest facility in Mobile for research and program initiatives in the region, primarily in the area of transportation. A quote here, the University of Alabama has a long history in Mobile along the Gulf Coast, including Dolphin Island Sea Lab, with a large and growing number of research projects in collaboration in the area. The GulfQuest facility will give us a centrally located physical space to expand our research capacity. That's John Higginbotham, UA Interim Vice President for Research and Economic Development, in a statement released by the university. It said at this facility, UA's Alabama Transportation Institute plans to house a research and policy resource that brings together research and development industry professionals. The facility will provide those professionals with a site to seek innovative solutions to the challenges of building and maintaining transportation system that provides safety and mobility for Alabama. Okay, blah, 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 blah. So the city of Mobile's multimodal transportation system includes aviation, roads and interstate highways, rail, ports, harbors, and inland waterways. Okay, but how much space do they have? Okay, they don't say. It just says some space. Huh. All right, yeah, we'll read through that. I'm going to pop this up on Twitter in just a second, at FM Talk 1065. That's my handle. So I guess the city of Mobile, I guess that goes to the city of Mobile, or does it go to the operating folks? I hope it goes to the city for some rent money there at GulfQuest. I don't know how much a GulfQuest it is, but it's just popped up. All right, coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile.